Well, good morning to everyone. So glad to see all of you this morning on what a beautiful Sunday. And I hope that you even enjoyed all the beauty of the church as the maintenance team was busy over the weekend and so many here volunteering. And we just praise the Lord for that. It just adds to the spring and adds to the beauty of the day. A couple announcements as we begin. If you have your bulletin, just look on the back there. It says, ladies, fellowship, come squeeze the day. And the program there will be on May the 18th? 17th. Okay, there's a change. Lee, go ahead and share. Okay.
That's the same weekend of the Brethren Auction.
Okay.
So now we moved it back to May 11th.
Okay.
So anybody, I'll make the correction next week.
Yes.
But now it's May 11th.
Okay.
For the women, it's one group. And all women are welcome.
Absolutely. Appreciate that, Lee. And I know that. Squeeze the day. Instead of seize the day, it's squeeze the day, right? Appreciate the note on that. Be sure to make a change there. May 11th will be the program here, and all the ladies are invited to come and be a part of that.
I'll change the date on the kitchen
door. Okay. At least shared, there is a sign-up sheet there on the kitchen door, so if you would like to come to that, it helps them get an idea how many will be here. Just sign up and put your name on that list so that that they know that. She'll make a change as well on that date there on the kitchen door. Note there that the Brethren Disaster Auction is coming up May 17th and 18th. There are auction books that are there on in the narthex on the table. If you'd like to pick those up and look at the different things that will be going on, it gives you some time and as well as just activities and things that will be up for auction. So I hope that you can be a part of that. Operation Christmas Child is still being organized. I know we're a long ways from Christmas, but it takes a lot of work through the year to get the shoeboxes ready. Lee is helping organize that. Lee, do you have an announcement about that as well? Yes, please do. Yes.
And you know who does that.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
So you know God, you can give her that shoebox.
Right.
So these shoeboxes are working. Now, you're also going to have to excuse me because I'm kind of excited about that. So you're going to have to, every once in a while, you might have to reel me back.
Great.
Fundraising Mm-hmm. So that survey is out in the North Texas, and there's a basket. You just put, tied down to whatever you said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get an idea of the participation of the church.
Right.
And along those lines, we might be able to go to North Carolina from the response I got last week.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So we might need a van.
Hint, hint, Kenny.
I'll have to see if it's available.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So that would be nice if we could help.
Yes.
And along those lines, when we start this committee, I'm kind of speaking to the parents now, but any parent of a junior, senior high, that if they would like to be interested in joining the committee, then they can be the go-between the youth and our committee. So I'd like to have them there because they have some great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're closer to a 2-year-old and a 14-year-old than I am. So I'm the old school. So they didn't know what a child was like. And if you'd like to say, fill this and do the survey.
Yes.
It's out in North Texas. I'm just dropping it. Or any suggestions that you might have that you send to Chibas.
Yes.
And if you don't want to do anything, the only thing I ask is that you pray that this project
succeeds. Right.
And we can send to Chibas.
Yep. Thank you, Lee. I appreciate that. And we want to catch your excitement as well here. And that's what we're... No, we appreciate your sharing and the work that is already beginning. We look forward to seeing how that unfolds here and the opportunity for many to be involved in that. So it's a blessed ministry. And Lee, thank you for all your work on that. And we look forward to just hearing more about it as we get closer to Christmas.
Okay.
And we'll see the fruit of all that ministry right there at Christmas. So praise the Lord for that. No, we won't, Lee. We won't, that's for sure. Also, just a note on the date there, May 11th, will King's Dominion Youth Trip. Youth, if you would like to participate in that, be sure to fill out the release form. Your advisors have that, and so just check with them if you'd like to participate. Should be a fun trip, and I'm looking forward to going and experiencing that with all the children as well.
And do that, Darren?
Yes.
Parents, I forgot to mention that those of you who have volunteered to be chaperones, we also need a shirt size for you. We covered the kids' shirt size, but the parents will have a matching T-shirt as the kids as well. So make sure we get y'all shirt size also.
Okay. Thank you, Kenny. Any other announcements? Kevin? Yep. Thank you, Kevin. Why don't we just show a hand of appreciation for Kevin and all the work they've done. Travis as well, and many others that were here and just served and worked hard. And so we appreciate that. We see the results, and it's very good. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate that. Janet. Thank you, Janet. Anyone else? Marsha.
Mount Fallen Fire and Rescue, we are having a fundraiser dinner on May the 4th. I hung this barbecue dinner. I hung a flyer out in the thing when you got out the door about it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Together.
And if you have questions about that, to see Robert or Marsha, and they'll share more about that, or Marsha. And they'll give you more information about that. We're blessed to have a wonderful team of first responders in our area. And if you've ever had to call on them and see them there at your house, you are so thankful that we have that here in our community. And we just praise the Lord for it. And for the work, Robert, he's chief over at Mount Solon Fire Department. And we praise God for what he's doing there. And we pray for their safety as well. Anyone else? Let's just bow our heads before the Lord. Go to Him in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You on this beautiful spring morning. Lord, we just come together as Your church, the body of Christ, the one body, Lord. And Lord, we are joined together in one spirit. And Lord, it's Your Spirit, Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that moves in between us and in and through us. And Lord, we just thank You for Him and what He brings into our life. And Lord, we just bring then that joy and praise unto You, Lord, that You so deserve. Bless us, I pray, in this time together, Lord, and the work that we do here as Your church. May all things bring You glory and Your Son Jesus, the glory that He deserves. We praise His holy name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. You'll find this inside your bulletin. And this coming from portions of Galatians chapter 5. It says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Let us walk in the spirit. For the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another. Let us walk in the spirit. For if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let's turn to hymnal page 250. "Come Holy Spirit." Page 250.
Come, sweet Spirit, I
couple minutes to gather up our prayer requests and praises that we have. One prayer request in particular is for the Knott family, specifically for Bubby. I don't know how many of you remember Bubby, but he used to sit there on the back pew, and he deals with several disabilities. But Bubby is going to be going for a procedure, I think a surgery this coming week, Titus? Yes. And so they are just asking for prayers that God's hand would work through the surgery and just bring him the healing that he needs. And so we pray for Tammy as well, for Jeff also, and the whole family as they care for Bubby and his special needs. Also, we want to just give praise for healing for Lee Landis. We're thankful that she's here with us, and she is doing better. And we just praise the Lord for the success of the procedure she had, and just pray now that God would work through that and just bring her continued healing from this situation that she has been plagued by. Also, we give praise for Sherry Woods that she's feeling better. She was having some issues, and praise God, she's doing better too. And so we just thank the Lord for that, and that she's feeling better also. If you would, keep Mary Lou in your prayers. Maybe you got that prayer request via email or phone call, but Mary Lou Miller was in the hospital towards the end and beginning of this past week. And so we just want to continue to just pray that the Lord will work a healing upon her. She was having a procedure, and there were some complications to that. And so she was just seeking God's healing. I got to visit with her there in the hospital. And her spirits, Mary Lou's spirits are always high, and she is always looking on the bright side of things. And I tell you, that is quite meaningful to hear somebody to always focus on what God is going to do or what Kenny can do in the midst of difficult situations. So I just praise the Lord for her faith, and that she continues to trust in the Lord and see that work in her life. So we just praise the Lord for that. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Anyone else? Lee? Okay, continue to pray for Pat.
She needs her surgery tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. Okay, and one unspoken. Thank you, Lee. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah, appreciate your prayers for us. It's kind of been delayed to some extent for several weeks now, but we're going to have the opportunity to go down and be at the funeral home there for Deborah's dad on this coming Friday. So please be in prayers for us as we travel to and back from that. And just prayers for Deborah and all her family as they gather together. Yeah, thank you. Other praises, Megan, prayer requests? Yeah, I know yesterday we'd kind of been hearing this buildup of tension in the Middle East, specifically between Iran and Israel, and then last night it kind of unleashed. I didn't hear of any casualties, so praise God. This morning I was kind of praying that you know, I wouldn't hear anything, and so yeah, just praise the Lord we're not hearing that, and just pray for peace there in that situation. It's always hard to know exactly what's happening and what the tensions are, but God's in control, and we just continue to trust in Him.
Amen.
Other prayer requests or praises? With that, I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward and collect our tithes and offerings. Thank you. Let's stand together.
Share the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
We just thank you as we come to you this morning. Father, you are so worthy of our praise, even as our voices come together and join together in praise for you. Lord, we just thank you that you are that God in our life that we can turn to and trust in, that no matter what we are suffering, no matter what hardship we might be facing, Lord, that we can always trust in you. That, Lord, you are always there. You are always present by our side. And, Lord, you are always in our hearts, even through the power and the gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to rely more on him in our life. Help us to trust more in that small voice that guides and directs us each and every day. Lord, your presence is always there. Help us to hear and see and feel that work within our life. Lord, we praise you for your Son Jesus and the sacrifice that he makes for us. And Lord, even as we sacrifice our offering and give it to you this morning, Lord, it's in honor and praise of him. Lord, all that we do, all that we give, all that we say, Lord, is to glorify Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Lord, as we bring these offerings this morning, we just pray that it glorifies our Savior Jesus. Bless us, I pray, as we turn to your word and again are reminded that we are one body and, Lord, that we are one spirit in and through you. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be your church. Even the church here at Moscow. Lord, we pray that we do many glorious things in your name. Bless us, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray all these things together. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. Our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. In your Bible, I want you to turn with me back to Ephesians. We started a series of sermons titled Biblical Christianity, or the Seven Pillars of Biblical Christianity. And hopefully you remember what the first pillar was, which is we are one body, right? And we're going to go through these seven pillars. Each Sunday, of course, we might take a break different times. I think Youth Sunday will be coming up next Sunday, so we'll be focused on something else, but we'll get through this. And we're coming right here from Ephesians chapter 4, really starting there at verse 4. Paul lays out to us these pillars, these foundational beliefs, foundational practices within the Christian church. There are seven pillars of Christianity. And the first is that we are one body. And we talked about that this past week, that we're one body. There's no divisions, or shouldn't be divisions among us as the body of Christ. There's no really denominations in heaven, is there? We talked about that. In heaven, there's not different denominations. It's just one body. You know, the divisions that exist within the church here on earth are the divisions that unfortunately we ourselves make. It's not God. God's not divided us as his body. In fact, Jesus would say in Mark and Matthew and Luke, Mark 3, Matthew 12, Luke 11, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom, Jesus says, cannot stand. And so the thing that Jesus is saying is you're not to divide yourself. You should be and see each other as one body, the body of Christ. And so we should work. We should endeavor is what the scriptures say. Even if you read the first part of Ephesians chapter 4 there, this endeavoring, this striving, this work that we are doing to unite as one body, the body of Christ. And it's important that we do that. It's important for us to join together with other believers in our community. We're so blessed, aren't we, here, to have a community of faith. We're surrounded by 11, 12 other churches right here in our North River district. And we are working together to accomplish the mission of Jesus. Praise God that we are a part of that in our community. I've heard other people say, other pastors say, we don't have that in our area. We don't get together with the other churches. In fact, I don't even know the pastor down the road. We don't talk. We have no common events or things that we work together on. And it's just so sad. It's so sad. There's a lot more that we have in common with our brothers and sisters in Christ around us than we don't. And I find that's true as we work together. Now again, I am referring to the body of Christ. We're not to unite with those that are not of the body, right? And so that's very clear as well. But those that are doing the work of Jesus, we need to find ways to join together and become one body, the body of Christ. And we talked about a little bit of this in 1 Corinthians. I want you to turn, leave Ephesians, because we've read through that scripture, and you can look at it again, but there is one body, and then the next, in verse 4, it says, and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. So we're looking at that one spirit today. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Go back a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We actually looked at this, verses 9. We started looking at this last week. And I want you to see, we're kind of just going to finish it out here, talking about us being the one church or this one body. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, Paul says. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed of how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver and precious stones and wood and hay and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he had built on endures, he will receive a reward. That is, those things that you're doing for Jesus, not for your own selfish purpose or your own selfish desires for self, those things, that's the works that we do in this world that will have no eternal value. They get burned up, is the way it's described here. Just burn away. They have no eternal value. They pay no eternal dividend. But the things that you're doing for Jesus, the work that you're doing for Christ in your life, that is to true service of Him, that does pay eternal dividends. And that's that fine material that doesn't get burned away, that you're building up and laying up there. Treasures in heaven is the way the Bible speaks about it. Don't you just want to have a beautiful treasure house of things that you've stored up in heaven when you get there? Oh, praise the Lord. What a blessing that will be. Those things, those works that we do, that we will be rewarded for in heaven because we've done it for Him. Now, move right on down there to verse 16. Do you not know? Listen, Paul moves from this, that you're the church, you're the building. And he moves right into, do you not know that you are the temple of God? You're the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now there it is. He goes right from one church right to one spirit, doesn't he? Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that because of that, the Spirit of God now dwells within you? Think of how radical that would have been for the Jewish person. The temple was on the Temple Mount. It had been built. It had been rebuilt several times. But it was this glorious building, and there was where they went to offer their sacrifice, and there was the holies of holies, and behind the holies of holies was the Ark of the Covenant, and there upon the Ark of the Covenant was these golden angels, and in the midst of the old golden angels was the presence of God. That's where God existed. Literally, in the temple, upon the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says the Shekinah, or the presence of God, literally existed. That's why only one person could go in and offer sacrifice, and that offer gifts or sacrifices, and that it was the high priest, and that even entering into that room was a danger unto his life. There's old traditions that say, it doesn't say this is scripture, but there's old traditions where the priest, when he would enter into the holies of holies, they would tie a rope around him, around his leg, and that he would wear bells upon him, so that as long as they could hear the bells ringing, they knew that the high priest was okay. But bells stopped ringing, they might have to pull him back out, because to be in the presence of God is sure death if you're not holy, or if he doesn't allow it. And so that's where the presence of God was. But now we're coming to this radical belief here in Christianity, is that no longer is the temple on the Temple Mount, but now this temple is you. And now that the presence of God that existed in that building behind the holies of holies that only one person could go in one time a year, now that presence lives and dwells within you. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Praise God, right? Now that presence of God is within you. The second pillar of the foundation of biblical Christianity is that we are all given, as believers, one spirit. One spirit. There's not many spirits. There's one spirit. And that spirit is of Christ, is of God. He is the Holy Spirit. And we have that. He indwells within us. He dwells within us. Do you not know, Paul says there, do you not know that you are the temple? Do you not know that ye are holy? Do you not know that in you the fullness of God dwells? Turn back to Ephesians. You got to hold your finger in some of these places so that you don't get lost. Back to Ephesians. And notice there, go back to chapter 3, look at verse 19. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's speaking about the Holy Spirit. God has filled you with His Holy Spirit. He has filled you with all the fullness of God. In Colossians 2:9, it says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. That's what it says. Let me hear it again. In Christ all the fullness of the deity of God lives in bodily form. That's Colossians 2:9. And now we see here in Ephesians, notice what it's saying, that fullness of God now dwells within you. What is the fullness of God that dwells within Christ? Well, it's His character, isn't it? All the fullness of God, the deity of God, His love, His mercy, His grace, His peace, His faith, it dwelled within Christ perfectly. All the attributes of God can be seen within Christ because He is God. Amen? And now the Bible goes into Ephesians to say that fullness that dwells in Christ now dwells within you. Now that's powerful, isn't it? That same love that you've seen in Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit, now that same love is in your heart. That same faith that you've seen in Jesus, now that same faith is in your heart, in your life, because now within you, the fullness of God dwells. Praise God. We have God living in us. Within you dwells the true and living God because of His Holy Spirit. The Bible goes about talking about how He seals you. He puts His mark upon you. We don't see it, but it's a heavenly sealing. You know, it kind of reminds you of what happens in Revelation, right? Satan wants to put his mark on those people, right? He's got his own mark, the mark of the beast. But we have a mark as well. It's the mark of the Holy Spirit. And God marks us with His Holy Spirit. And it's visible to Him. And it's this mark of God living within our life. And the character of God that should come flowing forth from the Christian believer. I say should, right? James talks about this. That if you have faith, you should have works. There should be some fruit, some evidence that Jesus is living in your life because, again, God is dwelling within you. The character of God is in your heart. And there should be some evidence of that, brothers and sisters. If there is no evidence of Christ in your life, I will proclaim, and not me necessarily, but the Bible proclaims that Jesus is not there. My words have no power or value, but His words do. If there's no evidence of fruit of Christ within your life, then friends, He's not there. And you better get right with Jesus. And you better do it quick. There should be evidence and proof that God is living in us. Turn with me to 2 Peter. We're getting a Bible workout today, aren't we? 2 Peter chapter 1. You say, well, this just sounds crazy, Darren. Maybe you're thinking, oh my goodness, what is he preaching? That in me is God. Now, I'm not preaching that you are God. But I'm preaching that the character of God lives within you. That doesn't make you God. You know, you're still you. Don't get some type of weird mindset that now you're God. And that you're going to be acting on behalf of God by your own will. That's not how this works. You're not God. But we do have God living within us. And we do experience and feel His character. And know His love within our life. Okay, 2 Peter lays it out here for us. 2 Peter, chapter 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God, Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace. Those are the two twins there in the New Testament, grace and peace. They're always together. Be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by this glorious virtue. Verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers, it says, that you will be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Boy, isn't that something? There it lays it out. That because the Holy Spirit lives within you, that now you are partakers of the divine nature. Laying aside the old nature. What's the old nature? The nature of flesh, nature of sin, nature of those things that are anti-God, right? Anti-Christ. Now you have taken on this new nature, the divine nature, it says, that you are now partakers of this divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And so we see here that now we experience this divine nature within our life because the Spirit of God is living in us. I kind of think of it like this, that we are somewhat results of, we are partakers of the DNA of our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents and so on and so forth. They do this thing where you can get DNA testing. You can, I don't know what you send to them, but they can do some testing and they can send you back some results of where you come from. They can tell you the potentially where your ancestors came from in Europe or wherever, and they give you percentages of each race that maybe makes up who you are. Very interesting. I don't know if I'd do it or not. Seems like there's too much information trading going on there for me to be a part of that. But there's many people that have, and they've gotten a lot of information that helps them, I guess, kind of know where they've come from. But we are partakers of those that have been before us, our parents, our grandparents. The DNA says that you have to. You can't exist outside the DNA that you have, right? You're not taking characteristics of some other person, but you are the characteristics of your parents and your grandparents. And I have characteristics of my parents, my mother, my father, my grandparents. All that DNA continues to travel on through me and to my children. And hopefully, if I'm lucky enough, their children. If I'm really lucky, the children's children, right? Just keeps on going. But those attributes are seen. You know, it's funny when a baby is born, we'll say to herself, you look at the baby like, who do they look like? You ever done that? Do they look more like their mother? Do they look more like their father? And you're trying to figure out really which DNA maybe which side they characterize more. Which side they look more like. We all do that, don't we? Oh, they look like their father. They look like their mother or their grandfather. My boys are very tall, and I don't have that height. And so I say, where does that height come from? Well, my dad's fairly tall, and I had some uncles that were fairly tall. Deborah's got some height on her side, though. Her uncles, and they were very tall, some of those people. And so, you know, you start to see those characteristics. I kind of think of that as well spiritually, that we are to be somewhat partakers of that DNA that comes from our Heavenly Father. DNA is divine nature or divine, divine nature or divine attributes. Divine nature attributes of God. I tried to figure out what the other DNA stands for. You don't even want to know. It's pretty big word. Deoxyribonucleic. That's it. Deoxyribonucleic. I got it. Deoxyribonucleic is what your DNA stands for. Forget that. I don't know anything about that. But I do know something about the divine nature of God. And that's what we carry. We carry that divine nature of God. Now, if you read on down here, he shows us what this divine nature is. We're back at 2 Peter. But for this reason, look at verse 5, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness. He gives us a list there, doesn't he, of the divine nature of God. What is the divine nature of God that you carry? Well, he says, first of all, it's the divine nature of faith. Notice there, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So the divine nature is that of faith. God places within you His faith through the Holy Spirit. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. So you don't come up with your own faith. not like something you just grab for yourself and say it's mine. It's a gift from God, and it comes through the divine nature of God that God places within you. That's Ephesians 2:8. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Notice the second is the divine power of virtue. The virtue is the ability to do what's right. God's put within you through His Holy Spirit the ability to do what is right. You can't go around and say, well, God, I just always do those things wrong because I don't have the ability to do what's right. That the sin nature is so strong within me that I just can't control myself, God. And that it's not me to blame, but it's the sin nature. Boy, we love to blame something on someone else, you know. No, take no responsibility for anything, right? Now, God says, I put within you virtue. That's what my Holy Spirit is. It's virtue in your life. You can't go around making excuses that I'm always doing the wrong thing. Paul talks about that, the struggle between doing what's right and doing what's wrong. But he comes to the solutions in Romans and says, thank God through Jesus Christ. I've been set free from sin and death. And I've been made alive unto the things of God through Christ Jesus. And that's us. He's placed within you virtue to be able to do what is right. When we walk in the Spirit, we don't walk in the flesh, and we choose the things which are right. God has placed within you virtue. Notice there, divine knowledge is number three. Divine power of knowledge. God has put within you the spirit of knowledge. Knowledge to what? Knowledge so that you can read His Word and know what it's saying. Know what He's speaking to you. You ever read the Bible and it's just like, oh my goodness, how did I never know that? It's just God is speaking to me. The Scriptures are just open up. Guess who that is? That's the Holy Spirit giving you His divine knowledge to understand the things of God. The natural man, the Bible says, does not perceive the things of God. Why do you think the world walks around in sin? It does not perceive the things of God, nor does it know it, the Bible says, but you know it. Because the divine spirit lives within you, that spirit of knowledge. Number four, the divine power of self-control. We are to have self-control in our life. We should have that at our workplace. We don't just have self-control here at church. What hypocrisy is that? Is if we come in and make a good show that we are upright, good, righteous people. But then when we leave the doors of the church, we live like hell. Where's the self-control? God has given to us the spirit of self-control. The Bible says a man without self-control is like a city that is broken down with no walls left. It's open to attack and destruction. We're vulnerable to the enemy, even Satan, if we have no self-control within our life. We must have self-control. Number five, the divine power of perseverance. Isn't that a good one? I kind of think of like running a race. Paul talks about running the race and striving towards the prize of the upward calling in God in Christ Jesus alone, Philippians chapter 3. We're to be persevering, aren't we? Listen, brother, sister, if you're going to live this Christian life and live it like you need to, or you should, you're going to need perseverance. Because the race can be a long one. It can be a tough one, and there can be a lot of uphills in it. And what do you need to get up those hills? You need perseverance. And the Holy Spirit is that refreshment or that refreshing thing in our life that keeps us pushing forward and persevering in our life in the Christian walk so that we, like Paul, might win the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus, he says. Number six, the divine power of godliness. We're to be a godly people. People should see that godliness in your life. The Spirit of God, that divine nature lives within you. They should be able to look at your life and say, there's a godly person. That's a person that's striving to live their life in godliness. to rid themselves of all evil or iniquity or sin. They are a godly person. That character of God, that godliness that we see. Number 7, divine power of brotherly kindness. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if every church you went into all lived in the spirit of brotherly kindness. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We should have love one for another. We should have that spirit of brotherly kindness and compassion and mercy. Not seeking to destroy one another, but to be praying for one another. That we might be strong in the faith. That we could withstand the temptations of Satan. That we might overcome our own lusts in the flesh. Praying for one another, lifting each other up, and seeking to be kind to one another in all that we do. That's the Spirit of God. Where there is not love, there's not Christ. That's a true statement right across the board. I don't care how you apply it. Where there is not love, there is not Christ. Notice there the divine power of love is how it ends. Number 8. The divine power of love. We are to have that love in our life, that same love that God had. Notice it was a vertical and a horizontal love. First of all, love for God, right? That should be known. We should be loving God. Our desire should be to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But it can't end there, friends. Jesus said, likewise, it's equally important to love others even as God has loved you. Love God. Love others. In that, you'll complete all the law, it says. All the law is what God desires for you. You love God and you love others. You are completing all that God desires for you. These attributes are of the divine nature of God. And listen, they are in you. You have everything within you right now through the Holy Spirit that you need to live the Christian life. There's nothing else. There's nothing missing. The only thing that stops us from living that life is our own sinful flesh. We suppress the Holy Spirit. We reject the Holy Spirit. We bind the Holy Spirit. These are the things that we do in our life. You don't have to go out and get some help book that makes you be the best you. Yeah, there's lots of those sold. There's different step programs you can get in to be the best you. You have everything on board right now to be just as much like Jesus as you can possibly be. The only thing you got to do is get yourself out of the way. Get your own selfish desires and lusts and flesh out of the way, and God, His Spirit will overflow. It will overflow. It will bubble forth like a well that just keeps running over and flowing forth from your life. That's what you have inside you right now. It's the well of the Holy Spirit. That water of life that is within you. And it seeks to flow forth in your life. Well, I have to end there. I guess I could keep going. Another place you should look, though, is Galatians 5. Look at the fruits of the Spirit. Those are more things that you should see in your life. These fruits that should flow forth from our life. Because we have Jesus living in us. Isn't it remarkable what God has given us? Most people are just ignorant to these things. They don't have to be. They just need to open the Bible and read it. Most people don't even know that all this is what we have been given by Christ. Most people just end at the cross and salvation. They think, well, that's all. No, there's so much more that God has blessed you with. I pray that you continue to seek it and search it and know it for you and your life. All the good things that God has given you. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit in our life. Lord, He is a powerful thing. And Lord, we just thank you that He exists and lives within us. And Lord, that your divine nature is being lived out in our life. Lord, help us to not suppress your spirit, but suppress our flesh. Lord, we get in the way of what the Spirit wants to do within our life. Help us to crucify the flesh. Help us to do that daily. Help us to live more and more like you through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that's what we want. Help us to be the church, Lord, that is not burdened by our own flesh, but Lord, that we too, as your church, are seeking your Holy Spirit to move in our midst, to draw us close to you, to make us more and more in your image. Help us, Lord. Do that, we pray. I know it's a prayer truly that you desire from us, your church, today. Help us be more like you. Father, we praise you now. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Okay, let's gather in our closing hymn. Breathe on me, Breath of God, page 259. Why don't we stand together and sing? 259. We'll sing first and last. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we go, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement we've received, Lord. Thank you for the instruction we've heard this morning. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives within our life. Lord, might his divine nature truly come out in all that we do and say. Father, we praise you and we praise your Son, Jesus. We just praise you until we meet again. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.